Be my little good luck charm.
There he is. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. What is going on? Momo is in for John today. And, so it's been such a crazy couple of days. We'll watch Max Scherzer pitch tonight. I will be at that game along with Jorge and Laura from the afternoon show. What's that, Jorge?
No, I said C. You're going to
see. Oh, yeah, there you go.
See.
Along with a guy named Roger Puyak, who won yesterday on the show, and he is bringing a guest. So just hanging out with listeners in the right field pavilion tonight. So if you're in the right field pavilion, find me out, and I can't buy beers for everybody. I'll buy a Michelada for Jorge.
Yeah.
But I can't buy beers for the entire section. Because who am I, John Ireland? All right, so... The Lakers have made a lot of moves, Momo. We've got Westbrook and a bunch of guys signed yesterday, and they still have this Dennis Schroeder thing.
And they waved Alphonso McKinney, so that's in one of the roster spots.
Ah, got it. Mm-hmm. So do you think they're still going to do a sign-and-trade with Dennis Schroeder?
They have to look at it. I mean, to me, it's a decent – can I get into a really nerdy deep dive, but I'll do it really unnerdily?
Yeah, do a nerdy neat.
I'm gonna really dumb
deep dive, but
okay.
Yeah, try to
so
make it dumb for us.
So here's what you have to look at. There's a contract. The first trade that they did with Washington for Russell Westbrook cannot be completed until August 6th, which is 2 days from now. If they complete that trade, they have a chance. They can still change the parameters of this trade. So it's already been modified once because Indiana got involved. Washington is trying to sign Spencer Dinwiddie. Well, Washington has this cap space to sign Spencer Dinwiddie. They have to do a sign and trade with his former team, the Brooklyn Nets.
Okay.
There's really no reason for Brooklyn to help Spencer or help Washington unless Washington gives them something.
Okay.
But they also could just expand the trade with the Lakers to include somebody who makes about what Dinwiddie's going to make. Who might make what Dinwiddie's going to make?
Sounds like Schroeder.
Right? Dinwiddie's going to make approximately $19-20 million a year. That's what Dennis Schroeder was looking for. So if you're Dennis Schroeder, you're very interested in this potential here. And it's also good for the Lakers and the Nets because, by the way, neither of these teams really want to help each other. They're going to be in the finals together. Lakers don't want to help the Nets. The Nets don't want to help the Lakers. But maybe they can get something out of this. And it's all it's doing is helping Washington out. So then now we expand this even further to say, well, the Lakers don't want to help the Nets and the Nets don't need to help the Lakers. And neither of them really have any incentive to help Washington unless they get something from this. And nobody really needs to help Schroeder if they don't want him. So there's the Lakers and Nets might be able to get something out of this if they find a team that wants Schroeder for $19-ish million.
Right.
Maybe you get a pick. Maybe you get a player. Maybe you create a trade exception, yada, yada, yada.
So in that scenario, we get Dinwiddie, somebody else gets Schroeder.
No, Washington gets Dinwiddie, okay, because they're signing him, but it has to be a sign and trade with Brooklyn. So now Brooklyn can join the already three teams the already three team Russell Westbrook trade.
Oh, so that trade's not necessarily final. It's not final till Friday.
Correct.
So it can be revised.
Yeah. But the Lakers have to agree. It's actually very similar to what happened in the Anthony Davis trade, but in reverse. So the Lakers the Lakers had a three-way deal with the Hawks. Remember, they sent the fourth pick to Atlanta.
Yep.
And it was just with the Pelicans and all that, but then the Pelicans traded number four to Atlanta. And eventually that trade got expanded to Washington because the Lakers needed to clear out a little more space to make it happen. And they sent Mo Wagner and who was the other player that they sent there? They sent somebody else to Washington just to clear the salaries out.
Let's boil this down because now we're in the weeds. Let's boil this down.
I know. I tried to dumb it down. Okay.
Yeah, you did. I'm still not smart enough for it.
I know.
So you're saying that Dennis Schroeder could still be used in a sign and trade and we could still get another player for him.
Yeah.
That's still possible.
It's still possible. You could sign Schroeder back. They could sign him if they want to.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's asking for – well, never get the money. I mean, he's going to wake up
in
cold sweat in the middle of the night.
Yeah, he has no leverage.
Saying, oh, my God, I turned down $84 million.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I honestly can't figure out who would do this at this point. But he's a good player. He's sixth man of the year. So somebody has to want him in as either a starter or a sixth man. But I don't know what his leverage is to make this happen. The Lakers will participate if it makes sense for them.
So the other guy that's out there floating around, just FYI, is J.J. Redick.
J.J. Redick? Well, there's also a Kelly Oubre floating around.
I mean, Kelly
Oubre.
There's
some good players floating around. Still.
But we don't have our mid-level exception anymore. They'd have to sign for veterans minimum deals.
Correct, but Schroeder, because he's their own player, can sign for whatever they want to pay.
Can sign for whatever, yeah, so they could bring him back. All right, so the question was, and we'll open this, 877-710-ESPN, what should the Lakers starting lineup be? What should the Lakers starting lineup be? Momo, obviously you've got Westbrook, we got LeBron, and we've got AD. Where do you configure those guys aside from Westbrook at the one?
So I'd probably put Ellington in the starting lineup alongside, just to give him some shooting.
Right.
Some kind of shooting.
So you'd put him at shooting guard.
Yeah. And then Gasol or Dwight. I don't know.
I'm going to do the small lineup. I'm going to do the AD at the five lineup.
You want to start that way?
I would love to. I know AD doesn't like that, but this is my favorite.
I would start with Gasol just to create some space.
My favorite lineup is Westbrook, Ellington at the two, LeBron at the three, Carmelo at the four, and AD at the five.
Whoa, you're going to start Carmelo.
I'm going to start Carmelo.
There it is.
I'm going to start. That's how far. There were times where I just did not want Carmelo on this team, but he's perfect for this team right now. Perfect for this team right now. A lot of people on Twitter say start THT. I don't think he's ready for that. He'd be great off the bench. Kendrick Nunn, I think, could be fifth man of the year. Sixth man of the year. That's a new award. Fifth man of the year. God, I'm dumb. I can't believe I have this show. All right. Ideas for a starting lineup. Let's go to Ryan in the OC. Ryan, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. I have the perfect lineup. Okay. It's going to be I like Ramona's Marc Gasol at starting and bringing Dwight off the bench. Obviously, AD, LeBron. But I would put Kent Bazemore, some young legs, along with Russell Westbrook.
So you would put Kent Bazemore at the two?
Yeah, or either one. I mean, they're both combo guards in that sense, but I would definitely put him, have a tall lineup, and I think Marc Gasol would space out the floor, and because at least it would give you defense on the second rotation with Dwight Howard.
Yes,
and obviously
true. Ending
the game would be Dwight and AD, but I think that would be a great starting lineup.
Okay, good. I like that. And is it realistic, Momo? Do you think Marc Gasol is still going to start at the five?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, look.
Fans not in love with what we saw from Marc Gasol last year.
I know, but I like Gasol. I still want to believe. I don't know. I'm probably stupid, but I still think I thought he was good at the end. I thought he got better, especially when they got Drummond and he was all revenge tour. And it was post, he had COVID too. He was sick for a while and then he came back and he was all revenge tour and I'm going to show you. And I just feel like if he would have come into camp or if he would have come into the season in the kind of shape with the kind of motivation he had at the end, we would have a whole different take on Marc Gasol. He just came in. He wasn't in great shape at first and it took him a while. And then by the time he got in,
plus he's not the rim protector that we had with JaVale McGee and Dwight Howard. Now we got Dwight back. And I think I agree that Dwight is best off the bench.
Yeah.
I love the energy that he brings off the bench. But Marc Gasol is just not a rim protector. He's more a top of the key passer.
But theoretically, Anthony Davis should be that. I mean, Anthony Davis should be protecting the rim. He doesn't,
Right. We want AD down low. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
So to me, Gasol, the reason they got Gasol is for his shooting, his basketball IQ, and his passing ability. Still nice in that lineup.
Let's go to Manuel in Central LA. Manuel, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man? Hey, Manuel. He's gone. So let's go to Kenny in Palmdale. Kenny, you're on 710. What's up?
What's up, Mace? How's it going, bud?
Great, man. You? All good there
in
Palmdale?
Man. You know how Palmdale does it, bud.
Yeah, I do.
So check it out, Mace and Momo. I couldn't disagree with the last caller anymore. Just check it out. I do not want Marc Gasol starting at all. I think Howard's deserved and earned that spot. I want Howard at five, AD at four. He's too soft to play five. AD needs to get his ass in the gym. Hopefully I can say ass. so he's too soft to play five. Howard at five. Let's do AD at four. I'm going to start Melo at three, LeBron at the two, and Russ at one, or vice versa. Two,
that's interesting. You know,
but that's what I want. What do you think, Mace?
All right, thanks for the call, Kenny. I think you're going to have a spacing issue with that lineup. If you've got Dwight and AD and then Westbrook crashing the hoop, I think you're going to have spacing issues with that lineup. Don't you think, Momo?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
And he doesn't really have a pure shooter in that lineup either. He went with Melo.
Yeah. Melo's got 41%.
Yeah, no, true. I like him at the four. I would start him at the four.
You know why I like Gasol, too? He doesn't need the ball.
True. But
you need two guys. If you have three guys who all need the ball, you need two guys who don't. So that, to me, is Marc Gasol and Ellington. Ellington's just catch and shoot. Gasol's just he just moves the ball along. He almost doesn't want to shoot. You know, like, if you're going to have three, Westbrook needs the ball. LeBron needs the ball. AD needs the ball. Like, he just, there's only one. I don't know how you can put Melo in there, too.
Right. Right. Hey, Momo, there is a song.
Okay.
A video that just passed 1 billion views on YouTube.
Let me see.
1 billion views on YouTube. Do you know what it is?
1 billion views. Song? It's got to be the...
Just say, I don't know, because this is the tease.
K-pop.
Just
no?
Say, I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Tell me.
Tease.
Tell me. What are you
Okay. I'll tell you next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, and of course, Dodgers versus Astros tonight. We're going to be out there. Jorge's coming with me, along with Laura and a listener named Roger Puyak, who won the right to won the night with Mace yesterday on the show. And we're going to be in the right field pavilion. I'm excited about that. By the way, if you see someone with Astros gear, apparently that's what the fights were over. The fights were over fans, Astros fans, wearing gear and flaunting their world championship. So there was some taunting going on and some fighting going on. If somebody there is wearing an Astros fan, leave them alone. Astros gear, just leave them alone. You can boo them, just don't fight.
Yeah.
Don't fight.
Okay. Yeah.
So, Momo, there's a song that passed 1 billion views on YouTube this week.
Yeah.
Here it is.
Wow.
Never gonna let you down. Do you remember? So billion views. Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up. And remember, this became a thing. Years ago, it became a thing to be Rickrolled, where somebody would say, hey, you got to look at this. You got to see it right away. And you click on it, and it would be Rick Astley singing Never Gonna Give You Up.
Oh, yeah.
That was like a big thing for a while.
Yeah.
So 1 billion views, more than any other song.
Amazing. That is amazing.
I went to a Rick Astley concert. I actually, when I was at 93Q WRQN in Toledo, Ohio.
Yeah? Okay.
No, no.
We presented a Rick Astley show, and I got up and said, you know, thank you very much for being here, 93Q WRQN. Proud to present Rick Astley. Take it away, Rick. And he opened with that. And then sang a bunch of songs that nobody ever heard of again.
Did he actually have more songs?
He did. Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. He did a concert. He had a whole album. Nobody knew any
like
of the other songs.
What's that like to be the proverbial one-hit wonder? What's that like? What's your life like?
I wonder about that, too. I wonder about sometimes when I see an act on Saturday Night Live, because Saturday Night Live brings some unusual acts on, some quirky, some edgy, some, you know, on the fringes of the mainstream kind of acts. And I wonder, and I think, man, when you're performing on Saturday Night Live, that's gigantic. That's a gigantic opportunity. But, you know, if you're the guys who sang I'm Too Sexy and you appeared on Saturday Night Live and you were the biggest deal in the world, what are your lives like now? Like Right Said Fred, who did I'm Too Sexy. I have no idea why that's in my head. What is their life like now?
Now.
That is probably like the best one-hit wonder ever, by the way.
It's a good song.
I think.
It really is a good one.
I mean, I'm still going. But like, you're probably singing that every time somebody books you. Like, that's what you're singing.
You really think Right Said Fred is getting booked?
I'm gonna Google it. I bet they are.
Nobody is booking Right Said Fred for anything other than I'm Too Sexy. Let's be serious, Mace. Come on.
Yeah.
I want to see what they're doing now. Where
I want to see what they're doing now. Present, 2013 to present. They were.
I wonder if they have hair now.
They were touring in 2013. Hey, right. Come see our song.
I mean, how many times can you sing it? It's like a short concert, you know?
Hey, how much for 3 minutes of your song?
Yeah, exactly.
How much for a three-minute appearance?
You know, one time I interviewed Buzz Aldrin, the astronaut who was the second person to walk on the moon.
Yeah.
And I asked him, I said, you know, what's it like after you walk on the moon? Like, how do you think of the moon now? He said, you know what? There's something very terrible about having walked on the moon. Because where do you go from there?
Seriously.
I mean, where do you go from I'm on the moon?
Uh-oh.
What?
Did he die? I'm looking up Right Said Fred. Hold on, man. Did he die?
Oh, did Right Said Fred die? Was it a guy named Fred?
Yeah, let me look. I just got to...
Well, this is not critical. This is not critical information.
I know.
Hail fellow sure well met if you died, Right Said Fred. I'm sorry. You had a great run.
There's a I'm Too Sexy oral history of Right Said Fred's snarky smash hit. You want me to read this whole thing during the breaks?
You know what? You just read it yourself, summarize it, and then tell us about it on Friday. Is that okay?
Yeah, okay. Friday.
Yeah, Friday.
I have that long to come up with a...
Oh, Ireland's back on Friday. Still do it on Friday, okay? It's because Ireland's back.
Yeah.
All right, so... I want to continue with this conversation about the Lakers lineup because, you know, Momo, don't you think Kendrick Nunn, can be that sixth man of the year?
He could. Yeah, he could. He could be in a good spot. He's going to be in a good, well-positioned spot. Like, they signed him for that mid-level. I think he got some votes a couple years ago as sixth man of the year. I think that's what he did for Miami. So, yeah, that's his role.
That makes sense. And I like either Ellington or Bazemore to start. I like Carmelo to start. Mm. Obviously, LeBron, AD, and Westbrook. Mm-hmm. I love the small lineup, although AD does not like the small lineup at all.
You know, I like the small. I feel like that's the closing lineup.
That's their most effective lineup.
Yeah, it has been. He just doesn't want to do it. I think he's embraced this, though. That was part of when they said, can we do, you know, the Westbrook trade, and you know, he and LeBron talked and had a meeting with Russ, and they all been talking about it the whole time. It's, you know, it seems like he's on board.
Yeah, I wanted to mention a couple of things. So we talked about Elvis, and Burton Avere tweeted that both of the songs I cited, which were "Save My Soul" on fire and "Little Less Conversation, A Little More Action," that both those songs were from Young Elvis. They were not from Fat Jumpsuit Elvis. So maybe I actually like Young Elvis better from the 60s than I do from the 70s. 70s was when he was playing Vegas in those white jumpsuits, which looked totally ridiculous then and looked even more ridiculous now. And the other thing that came in about Elvis is that he created the Jungle Room for recording. Because it has great acoustics.
Yeah.
By the way, Burton Avere was the guy that tweeted about young Elvis versus old Elvis. But the Jungle Room was created to be a music room. It was done for acoustic reasons to record music there. That's from Daniel Bridges. So the Jungle
that's
Room
also
was
a
not
lyric in that
project.
Song, the Walking in Memphis song, Down in the Jungle Room. And that's like a famous reference in that.
Yeah, Marcone. That was Mark Cohn. Yeah.
I have you ever been to Graceland? I think it's worth going. It's like a real place. I want to go to Dollywood and I want to go to Graceland.
It's
I went to Graceland.
Super weird. Graceland
you went to Dollywood?
Is super weird. I've never been to Dollywood. I love Dolly Parton. Everybody loves Dolly Parton, but I've never been to Dollywood. I've been to Graceland and once was plenty. Do you would
I
recommend people go to Graceland?
Yeah, I think it's cool. I really like Memphis. That's one of my favorite towns. I think it's a good. I think it's a good town. Good for jazz. Good restaurants. Lots of. I'm not saying a whole week. You know, a couple of days. But passing through, it's a good town.
So we talked yesterday. Simone Biles won the bronze medal in the balance beam, which was a nice, a really nice moment.
It really was, yeah.
Yeah. Not her best apparatus, but it's the one she felt like she had gotten mm-hmm. over the twisties, the yips, yep. that she was able to do, which
is
great.
I watched the routine last night. That was, I got, you know, I was like, didn't this happen like a day and a half ago? But it was, NBC was playing it at night, so I watched.
So did you see what Novak Djokovic did?
No.
He was competing in the Olympic tennis tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, he was trying to do the Golden Slam.
Yeah.
So the Golden Slam would include winning all four majors, and he's won three of them so far, the Olympic gold medal and the U.S. Open in a single year, which is
yep.
impressive. So Djokovic lost in the semifinals. He broke his racket, threw it up to the stands, and stormed off. Now, obviously, there were yep. no fans there, but tossed his racket up into the stands.
Mm-hmm.
And then he quit the doubles competition, leaving his partner in Nina Stojanic, I guess a mixed doubles medal, left her, and she couldn't compete anymore. And I'm wondering this. Think about this.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about Simone Biles' mental health. Do we treat Novak Djokovic the same way? Is he a pariah because of this? Isn't this a mental health issue on the part of Novak Djokovic?
That's a great point.
Isn't there a double standard here?
Yeah, it totally is. That's a great point. Because, like, I think it's also on brand for him. Like, we think of him as kind of a jerk. Like, that's part of
yes.
his legacy. And it fits into our original view of him. So maybe we don't hold it against him quite as much.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. Is there a double standard between Simone Biles and Novak Djokovic? Linz, what do you
think?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious there is. It's exactly what it is. I don't know why, but I think it's kind of ridiculous.
I think
this happened.
That's worse.
This happened like a week ago, and we're just now bringing it up. And this is, I didn't really hear a whole lot about it. Whereas Simone Biles was like the headline on CNN and Fox News, like everything.
Hmm.
Yeah, it was all about Simone Biles and her inability to compete. And Novak Djokovic chose to not compete by smashing his racket and throwing it into the stands and storming off and dropping out of the mixed doubles competition.
Yeah.
And nobody talks about that. There's a tremendous double standard here.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I talked to, do you know who Will Leach is?
Yeah, I know that guy, yeah.
Yeah, Will Leach was the founder of Deadspin, now writes for New York
yeah,
Magazine
like a,
and stuff
like
that.
He has like a big novel out right now, too.
Yeah, he's called like, Lucky You that
yeah.
I read. And he was
is it
on
awesome?
It's an unbelievable book. It's unbelievable. Huh. And he was on the podcast this week, and he was talking about Simone Biles. And, you know, one of the things he said was, we may be at a pivot point when it comes to mental health issues. Hmm. Like, we may be at that point because of Simone Biles where we say, you know what, physical health and mental health are part of the same thing. It's just health. If you're hurt if it's a knee injury or it's depression, both should be treated the same. Do you agree with that? Are we getting to that point?
I think so. I really do. And, you know, it's interesting. I've been thinking about this a lot lately with because of Osaka, because of Simone, because of all the, you know, and I think we're at a pivot point, but I still think we're early on in this where it seems like mostly women that we're focusing on for some reason, you know, and this is, I don't know if I go back to the Mad Men, right? I'm just thinking about all the hysterical women that they just told to take tranquilizers or go have a lobotomy,
sure,
you know, right?
Sure.
I mean, it just feels like early on that mental health diagnosis sticks to women more than it sticks to men. And
oh, that's it. Well, or is it more likely that men are less willing to talk about it than women?
Right. I mean, there's something about mental health where when a man talks about it, it's like, wow, that's so brave. Like when Meta World Peace talked about it, that became how he was known now. He was the guy who was brave enough to talk about mental health publicly and still talk about it. But when
Kevin Love.
Yeah. Kevin Love, oh, that's so brave that you talk about it.
Right.
It is brave. It is. But when Simone Biles does it or when Osaka does it, we call them spoiled.
I just got a text from LZ. He says, you have the story all wrong, Mace. Like, really wrong. So let's call LZ. We'll find out exactly how I screwed that story up. That's a good. That's always good on the show. How did Mason screw up a story? Because as you know, Lindsay, I'm prone to screw these things up.
Mm-hmm.
So let's.
Yeah, I mean, you don't always necessarily read the articles I send you, but you know, you usually do a pretty good job of summarizing them. For
yeah,
the most
my
part,
job is I'm
I guess.
A summarizer. I'm a summarizer. Kinda.
I hope you got this one. I hope you got the number on this one right.
Yeah, no, that's a billion. A billion is the correct. If you go to
Mace,
YouTube,
I
you
think
will see one
Jorge
billion.
Just Rickrolled you.
Oh, that's right, he did. Man, clever.
Yeah.
Clever. All right, so we'll get LZ in here next, find out how I screwed up that story. Then we got Radio Tinder coming up for you, too. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. Day, what a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
ESPN. Speaking of Sedano, LZ, and Cap, I'm really glad we get a chance to talk to LZ today. He says I completely screwed up the Novak Djokovic story, which is I defer to him because he is a tennis authority. So we bring him into the mix right now. LZ Granderson, how you doing, man?
I'm stuck in traffic trying to get to Rams camp.
Oh, got it.
So
how did I screw up the Novak Djokovic story?
Well, the hypocrisy aspect of it wasn't the media's response or the fans' response between the two athletes. It was the fact that prior to the competition, after Simone Biles started talking about mental health, Djokovic was asked about it. And he said that you have to be tougher in these situations. You have to push through these situations. And you have to learn how to control your mind and have a strong mind. And then he went out and melted down in front of the world and left his Olympic partner, hanging to dry.
So that is, in fact, precisely the double standard that we're taught. I didn't get it quite right. I was in the ball. You got to admit, I was in the ballpark on this thing.
I mean, not really, because the way you laid it out made it sound as if people were mistreating Djokovic in favor of Simone Biles, when reality is people were having a proper response to someone who showed a lack of compassion for Simone Biles, and then almost 24 hours later had a complete meltdown in front of the world.
Right, right. No, that's
exactly
right.
That's how I saw it, too. Totally.
Mm-hmm. So
that's why I felt that you had the story completely wrong, because you are missing a critical aspect of the story, which was when he was asked about Simone Biles and mental health, he made it sound as if she wasn't tough enough for these moments, and then immediately went out and melted down in front of the world because he lost the match.
Got it. Yes. He said, pressure is a privilege. Without pressure, there is no professional sport. If you are aiming to be at the top of the games, you better start learning how to deal with pressure and how to cope with those moments on the court, but also off the court, all the expectations. And then he melted down on the court. So there is the hypocrisy. He was critical, or at least, he was critical of Simone Biles. Are we at the point now, LZ, where mental health will be taken as seriously as physical health?
I don't know, honestly. I don't know, not sure if we're there yet as a society. I don't like to focus in strictly with sports when it comes to this conversation. I think culturally, we're still struggling seeing mental health and physical health as being on the same plane. So I actually extend a lot more grace to the sports world in this space, because I don't think it's fair to ask the sports world to do something that the larger society hasn't done yet.
Yeah, that's true.
So I've talked about this pretty very openly, that I'm bipolar one, and there are times when I do take mental health days, and I think they are just as important as if I had a cold or a flu or whatever that was. I consider it to be in the same category. Not everybody does. I get mocked sometimes because I take mental health days, but I think they're important, and trust me, they're necessary.
No, I agree. I think everyone should definitely start thinking about it more on the same plane because they are important. But, you know, think about the game of football, right?
Yep.
And how it's not necessarily a mental health aspect of it, but it's an invisible injury, and that's concussions. And while people can understand, I can't go out and play because I have a torn hamstring, I can't go out and play, I have a broken leg, but for some reason, when it comes to concussions, because it's an invisible injury, we don't put it on the same plane. And we just say, you got your bell rung, you need to toughen up, you need to play through that. So we just have a difficult time in society as a whole just making things that we can't see as viable as those things that we can see.
So, LZ, thanks for clarifying the story because it's really helpful. While you're here, I wanted to congratulate you on your big move. I know this is your last week on SLK, and you got big stuff planned. I heard you talk about it on Monday. For people that don't know, LZ is moving on from ESPN to do bigger and better things. LZ, what do you got cooking?
Well, first of all, I don't want to call them bigger or better. Just different.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, just different because I absolutely love being at the radio show, being on the radio station. It's a privilege to be able to have your name attached to a show that's in the second largest market in the country.
Yep.
It's a privilege to have your name attached to ESPN on a major show. So I don't want to say bigger and better. It's just different. And I've always wanted to be a stripper, and I'm finally going to move to Vegas and join the Thunder Down Under.
Thunder Down Under. Well, you know, I see your workout videos, and LZ, you could clearly do it if you wanted to.
Hey, Mace, you know exactly what to say. But you know, I'm working on a documentary, I'm working on a novel, and I'm working on another podcast. And yes, Momo, if you want, I'll send you a private Thunder Down Under video.
Because you know I went on my bachelorette party. That is definitely when I went to go see it. LZ, I was actually thinking that you could start for the Lakers. I mean, you're right in that demo now.
Let's see. Here you go. Here you go. I'm excited. I know a lot of people like to clown the Lakers because, you know, quote unquote, they're in their mid-30s or whatever. But you want to talk about hypocrisy. How about this for hypocrisy? The Lakers failed to win a championship this past season, and people are ripping LeBron James. Oh, you know, he couldn't get it done. Ha, 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 blah, 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 blah. And it's like, oh, so it's okay to expect the 36-year-old to come back from injury and win a championship, but if he has a team with other 36-year-olds, now they're too old to win a championship. Which is it, people? Is 36 supposed to win a championship or not supposed to win a championship? Why don't you just say you hate LeBron James and stop making yourself look like you don't know what you're talking about with basketball?
Right. Yeah. I mean, the thing about it is, and I've gotten this. Well, yeah. What about the future? What about what about 2023 and what about 2024 and what do we have left when we got all these old guys? And I say, look, we're in it to win it right now. That roster will get remade every single year from this point forward for the most part. But, you know, veteran guys, guys that really want to win, guys with their last best chance to win a title, I think there's going to be a lot of hunger on this team.
I think, you know what, I really feel that franchises and front offices that aren't really good, well, I shouldn't say really good, aren't excellent. Are handcuffed by that notion that you got to have, you know, this long-term plan, and what about now, and blah, blah, blah. But excellent front offices that know how to operate within the confines of salary cap space, and free agency, and draft picks, they're not handcuffed by that. And I say that because Andrew Friedman has demonstrated an ability to have young guys, have old guys. We got Max Scherzer that's going to be on the mound tonight. He's not a young guy. Did we give up young guys to get him? Yes, we did. Do we want to win now? Yes, we do. Do we want to win tomorrow? Yes, we do. He's not fearful of that. So why are we still having that same sort of dynamic when it comes to basketball? If you have an excellent front office, you can still do both. And I think Rob Pelinka is showing us the way.
Yeah, and I think THT, Kendrick Nunn, the Malik Monk, those younger guys that were added to the roster are guys that are players that they can use moving forward.
I mean, what about Danny Ainge, right? His little racist ass.
Yeah.
He had a whole bunch of draft picks and young players, and they were going to dominate the league for years to come. And what happened?
Yeah,
so it's like just because Right. And so just because, you know, there's a team with older players, and, oh, by the way, a number of them are only on one-year deals anyway, but just because you have a team of older players doesn't mean that you're playing yourself out of the future. What it does mean is that you better be competent and know how to operate, you know, when it's time for you to change over.
Right. Well, listen, LZ, it's been great working with you. I really appreciate it. I appreciate all the time that we've been on the air together, our crosstalks and all that stuff. I'm a huge fan and can't wait to see what's next, man.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. And listen, I'm just, you know, doing other stuff. My phone still works. The number is still the same. As I told Greg, we're just going to talk at different times. That's all.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, we will definitely ring you up, ma'am. We will definitely take advantage of that.
I think you should be thinking also that you're not leaving. You're evolving. That's how I saw it. When you told me what you were doing, I was like, yeah, you're evolving. I like it. Growing.
Yeah,
evolving.
I'm evolving, but I'm still going to be at Staples.
Yeah.
I mean, you still don't see me. You probably still think I'm at the...
I'm probably going to think you're there more.
I mean, you got Mello.
Exactly.
Who doesn't want to see Mello in purple and gold?
Who wants to miss that? All right. Hey, LZ, thanks, man. Again, SLK live at Rams training camp today. They're all going to be there in person. I hear it's really cool out there. Have a great show, man.
Thanks very much, brother. Talk to you guys
Gracias,
later.
Hermano. Talk to you later.
Much love to you, man. All right. There is LZ Granderson, who's moving on to do really cool stuff, which is great, which is great. All right, coming up next for you, I don't want to take any more time away from at Lindsay Baseball on Instagram. Lindsay Fulton has got Radio Tinder coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Famous from her Instagram account, which is available at Lindsay Baseball. If you're not following it, you should start following it today. All right, Lindsay, what do we got in Radio Tinder?
Well, I don't know if you would call me famous, but somebody who is famous, especially on Instagram, is Paris Hilton. And she is currently doing the media rounds for her new Netflix show, Cooking with Paris, which debuts tomorrow. Mm. It's billed as an unconventional cooking show that sees Hilton invite guests over for meals that she only sort of knows how to make. You can join Hilton as she cooks alongside Kim Kardashian West, Demi Lovato, Nikki Glaser, and Sister Nikki, among others. Would you ever even want to watch a cooking show, even though the host, in this case Paris Hilton, admittedly can't really cook? Swipe left or swipe right?
You know, I'm going to swipe left. I don't need Paris Hilton. I don't need Kim Kardashian cooking. I don't need Nikki.
Yeah.
Although I love, did you say Nikki Glaser? I love Nikki Glaser.
Mm-hmm.
She's very funny. But, you know, there are too many good cooking shows on the air. Like, you know, I watch Top Chef, which is a great cooking show where everybody is phenomenal. I don't need bad cooking. My friend Sue Kalinske did a show for Netflix called Best Leftovers Ever. And the idea was you would open up the refrigerator and you would cook with whatever was in the refrigerator and try to turn it into something else.
Yeah, Brenda.
Really funny show. What's that, Jorge?
Good. Brenda.
Brenda, there you go. Yeah, no, I don't need – by the way, Paris Hilton, I have not even heard her name in 5 years. What does she do with her life now?
I mean, she's been a pretty successful businesswoman running her beauty empire. She's got, like, her whole perfume and makeup and all that kind of stuff. She's been pretty successful.
What about you?
Thing,
you watching
it?
Or not
I think
watching?
I would watch, like, an episode or two. I don't think I would watch it all the time. Like, maybe I'd just be like, oh, let's see that one a little bit. But I would have to be really bored. And I would, you know, like, I like to watch really dumb TV sometimes just to just totally unplug from my life. So
what's
if I'm in that place,
dumbest TV you watch?
I watch all the, do you think Below Deck is dumb? That's pretty dumb.
Yeah, that's pretty dumb.
I watch that every week. Yeah, it's pretty dumb. I watch that.
That show you texted about last night, it's right up Ireland's alley. I watched the first episode of that one. Are we allowed to even say the name of that show?
Yeah, it's F-Boy Island.
F-Boy Island.
I texted Ireland. I said, this is the most John Ireland show ever.
You know what?
I'm already all over it.
When I saw that, I texted my friend and I said, this isn't just a TV show about an island. This is life dating as a woman in general.
You don't know who's serious and you don't know who just wants to get with you. I watched the first episode. I find it very watchable. Definitely the dumbest TV I want. I will watch. And, you know, when I get especially rocked at night, I need something dumb. Like, I'm not going to waste my time. Like, I'm watching Ted Lasso. I'm not going to watch that when I'm rocked.
No. Because
I want to see it. if I'm rocked, I'll watch F-Boy Island. Because
you should watch this cooking show, though. I feel like, to me, I would watch it because she admits that she can't cook. How ridiculous slash funny slash stupid is it going to be watching Paris Hilton and then her friends, like Kim Kardashian, doing like recipes like, hey, let's try and make this thing that we don't really know how to make. And like the stories and like, the you know, like the little side chatter they're going to have in between while they're attempting to cook. I think it would be funny.
It could be. All right. Netflix.
Half hour.
Sure. Half hour.
When I'm in that mode, that sounds like something when you're totally baked. That is.
Totally.
When you're totally baked, I think that's a perfectly reasonable show to
watch.
Yeah.
I mean, I watch Home Improvement show. I watch the, you know, what's it, Christina, Flip or Flop. Yeah, I watch her show. Christina.
You watch that? Do you watch the Property Brothers?
I don't even know what I watch. You know which one I really like? This is pretty dumb, but it's exciting. I watch Naked and Afraid. I like the XLs.
Yeah, I know you love that survival stuff.
I know. It's weird.
A zombie apocalypse. That's right.
I have really weird dreams after I watch that stuff at night.
I'm sure.
All right. Well,
sure.
Speaking of really weird dreams, Disney World has released more details about the upcoming interactive hotel experience, the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser. Have you guys seen the pictures of this thing yet?
No.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
It looks awesome. So some of the new details that they released include pricing for each individual voyage, dining, and itineraries while on board. So when you're on this Halcyon Star Cruiser, guests are going to learn the traditional art of wielding a lightsaber.
Really?
They're going to come in contact with unique Star Wars characters, including Kylo Ren and Chewbacca. They're going to dine in the Crown of Corellia dining room, and they're going to live out the ultimate Star Wars adventure. Sounds pretty cool. Company, which we happily work for here at ESPN, provided sample rates for the fall of 22, and for a standard cabin for two guests, it's going to cost you about $1,200 per guest per night. So that's like $4,800 total for a weekend.
Because you must stay two nights.
Yep, you have to stay two nights. There is no one night. It's a minimum of two nights stay to make sure you get the whole experience in there. So would you guys or anyone you know pay this much for the ultimate Star Wars hotel experience?
The person, I would not. I love Star Wars, and I've seen all the Star Wars movies, and I'm one of the guys that likes the last three Star Wars in the trilogy, and, you know, I watch Mandalorian, all that stuff. But I would not spend that kind of money. It sounds like it's greatly for kids. Doesn't it sound like it's for a lot of kids?
I mean, yeah, but if you're a big Star Wars nerd like me, like, I definitely want to go. I don't know if I would be able to fork over all that money for it, but got my Disney discount, I think. I hope.
Yeah, Lynn, Ramona, what do you think? Are you a Star Wars fan?
Not to this level. Like, I like it, but I don't know if I'm going to spend that much money doing just a geeky thing.
It is nerdy, but if you're a Star Wars fan, it sounds like the ultimate experience. I don't want to diss Disney.
I mean, we're kind of nerdy. You and me, Mace, we're nerdy. Like, we went to the Game of Thrones concert.
Yeah, that's really
crazy. That's pretty nerdy.
Yeah, that was crazy.
I went on a Game of Thrones vacation. I went to Croatia.
Me too.
And hired a guy to take me to all the sets.
I went to Dubrovnik in Croatia, and my favorite
moment.
That's
pretty nerdy.
Do you remember the shame walk?
Shame. I love that. Yeah.
I walked down that street, the Shame Street.
Yep.
Which is right in Dubrovnik. And yeah, I was definitely a Game of Thrones nerd. Lindsay, did you watch Game of Thrones?
No, did not. Could not get into it.
You missed it. You would have loved it.
I didn't miss it. I tried. I just couldn't.
Hard pass, man. I couldn't get into it either.
Hard pass.
Game of Thrones.
Wow. Yeah, even though Momo and I are nerds for Game of Thrones, we probably would not be in on the Star Wars Galactic Star Cruiser two-night immersive experience at Walt Disney World that's billed as part live immersive theater, part themed environment, part culinary extravaganza, and part real-life role-playing game. Probably would not be in on that.
All right, well, I will make sure to give you guys an update when they build the Game of Thrones immersive hotel galactic experience.
I mean, I already kind of did that. I literally went to Croatia and did that.
All right. So next story here. A Texas high school principal is defending himself after he says he was told to remove an anniversary photo from Facebook following complaints from parents. The professionally shot images show him and his wife kissing and intimately positioned on the beach. I posted the photos on my Instagram at Lindsay Baseball. If you don't follow
me. Yeah, you did. Yeah, of course
you did. You want to check out these photos because to me, I feel like they're very run of the mill anniversary, lovey dovey.
I'm going to
whatever you want to call them.
Yeah,
okay,
check him out. Now, I would argue that he's sort of.
Well, let me finish.
Not exactly on top of her, but kind of on top of her.
They're like on the beach, like rolling around in the sand, having fun. It's not like it's like, hey, I'm on top of you suggestively. I don't think it is, but you can look at him for yourself.
Okay.
But anyway, according to his Facebook post, Whitfield says concerns regarding the images first began after he was named principal of Heritage Middle School in Texas in June of 2019. He was told by the district to take down the photos because the district didn't want, quote, people to stir up stuff, according to his post. Do you think there's anything wrong with these photos on his personal Facebook page? Swipe left or swipe right?
Momo?
I got to see the pictures. I'm looking for them. I don't see them on your Instagram page.
It's on my Instagram stories.
Oh, your stories.
Instagram stories. Okay. So right, I've seen the pictures. And he is sort of leaning over her. They're not dirty. They're not... You know, like it's not erotic. It's nothing like that. You're right, Lindsay.
He is the principal.
It is kind of a honeymoon picture. But at the same time, he is the principal of a high school, a position of authority, a position of great respect. And you kind of don't want to know what your teachers do on their off time. I would argue it was a mistake to post the picture. What do you think?
Me too.
Wait. Also, let me say that these pictures are 10 years old.
He posted 10-year-old pictures?
No. Ooh. These pictures are from 10 years ago, posted 10 years ago when they happened.
Oh, God. So somebody went back on his Facebook account and found these old pictures?
They probably did, like, the memories or something.
Yep. Well, they went back and found his 10-year-old pictures.
Oh, somebody found them. So he didn't necessarily repost them?
Parents found them and complained about them.
Oh.
Yeah, no. That's
well, that changes it a little.
That changes it for me. Because who knows? 10 years ago, he may not have been a principal. I don't know if he was a principal back then. He may have just been living his life. Their honeymoon pictures, whatever they are.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody goes back and dredges them up. In that particular scenario, I'm completely on board with the principal. Although I will say, it's weird to see people in positions of authority outside their native environment. Like, my GP, a guy named Mike Estes, I was at the Dodgers Cardinals playoff game, and I saw Dr. Estes in an Ozzie Smith jersey, and I was like, no, you're my doctor. I don't want you to be the guy that wears a jersey to a playoff game at an opposing stadium.
It's not like it was an Astros jersey.
Here's a really sad one. When I was in sixth grade, I had a teacher named Mr. Roshan. And one night we went to one of the grocery stores in our neighborhood, and there was Mr. Roshan stocking shelves. He was my sixth grade homeroom teacher. And this is partly because teachers don't get paid what they're worth. But to see your teacher stocking shelves at a grocery store, also a weird experience. So I can see why this would be weird for people now that he's a principal. But, Lindsay, that puts a totally different shade on it. I'm now completely on the principal side.
But why would anyone have a problem with what he posts on his personal Facebook page anyway? Like, my question is that a thing? Like, do parents and, like, kids, like, friend their kids' teachers and principals on Facebook? Is that a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing. I have a friend who's a teacher, and she changes all of her Facebook Facebook settings to, like, a different name. Like, it's, like, her first name and her middle name so that people can't just easily find her. And she doesn't accept any friends or anybody who's like, you know, kids they teach or parents, and you keep it like private. I mean, it's
That's what I would
really
do. That's what I do
that
now.
Stuff private. Yeah.
So I guess I just don't understand why, if somebody, you know, unless he has like, I'm assuming this is just a personal Facebook page that he has and people found him and wanted to friend him. Like, first of all, I would make it private and just make your private life private. But even so, like, why are these people dredging up his personal life?
Yeah, that's weird.
I'm in agreement. I don't know who would go back and look at, and I would hate
people
somebody.
Do that though.
Yeah, people do totally go back. Do I mean, it is part of your permanent record. Every time some kid gets drafted, they go back and find a tweet from when he was 13 years old and say this is a bad guy. It's completely unfair, but reporters will continue to do that kind of stuff. All right, coming up next, I'm going to tell you about an embarrassing moment I had and a famous guy who had the same embarrassing moment. That's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.